Take your Bibles again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This evening we'll be considering biblical titles for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the passage we read previously, it doesn't come out in the ESV translation, but in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation? If you have the New King James, you'll notice it translates it communion. And that's where we get the title communion from. And we also read the title of the Lord's table, or the table of the Lord. And now we'll read the text that we looked at in detail this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, read verses 11 verses 17 through 26. And again, we'll see that third title for the sacrament, the Lord's Supper. And so again, let's give the living and abiding word of the Lord our careful attention. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, we again call upon you and ask for your Spirit's work as we hear the word again proclaimed this evening. Lord, please work in spite of your servants' sin and weakness. Lord, uphold your people and enable them to hear the word carefully and with diligence. And so we pray that your Spirit would work by and with the word this evening. We pray that you would use the proclamation of the word to conform us into the image of Christ and to abundantly glorify him. We do pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, as we saw this morning, the sacraments are wonderful gifts to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. They are visual aids. They are designed to be pictures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And despite what is taught in much of modern Christianity, the gospel is not something that is easy for us to believe. The gospel is not something that we just get one time and then move on to bigger and better things. Rather, it is something that we have to have continually set before us. Our hearts are not naturally inclined to believe the gospel. We are inclined to legalism. We are inclined to gravitate towards a works-based approach to life and faith. The good news of the gospel is indeed hard to believe. And so we are given pictures that put the glorious truth of the gospel before us. The Lord knows that our faith is weak. He knows that the gospel is hard for us to believe. And so He gives us the sacraments to strengthen us and to put the glorious truth of the gospel before us. Now, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, in a span of two chapters, we saw three different titles for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We saw that title, the Lord's Supper, the title of communion, and the title of the Lord's table. Now, each of these titles are rich in meaning, and each of them communicate to us something of the gospel. They are all titles for the sacrament, but each of them communicate to us different nuances of the gospel. And so this evening, we will briefly consider each of these titles for the sacrament and think about the rich truth that they convey. So again, this evening, you have an outline on the back side of your bulletin if you find that helpful. So let's begin first by thinking about the title, the Lord's Supper. Now, the first thing that we might think about when we consider the sacrament of the Lord's Supper might be the actual contents of the meal. In 1 Corinthians 11:20, the sacrament is called the Lord's Supper. In other words, it is a meal that belongs to the Lord, and it is a meal that comes from the Lord. And so this first title, the Lord's Supper, first of all speaks of, and if you're filling in the blanks, this is your first one, it speaks of Christ's provision. When it comes to salvation and our growth in grace, this title, the Lord's Supper, reminds us that Christ is the one who provides all that we need. The bread and wine in the Lord's Supper are visual reminders of this gospel truth. They remind us that we can't and that we don't save ourselves, nor do we sanctify ourselves. Christ is the source of these things. He provides them. The meal that is set on the table reminds us of the truth of 1 Peter 1:3, where Peter says that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, Christ has done it all. This is His supper. He brings the full meal. We don't contribute anything to it. And this pictures to us the gospel truth that Christ is sufficient for our salvation, that we can add nothing. The complete meal that is set before us signifies a complete Savior and a complete salvation. And related, this is the second subpoint, and related, this title, the Lord's Supper, points us to Christ's person and His work. The supper that is put on the table is a vivid picture of the person and the work of the Savior. In other words, it pictures to us who Christ is and what He has done. This meal teaches that the eternal Son of God took a body to Himself, that He lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death in our place. Christ's supper reminds us that our hope is in Christ alone, that His broken body and His shed blood was and is still sufficient for our salvation. Thomas Watson wrote, "The sacrament is called the Lord's Supper. It is a spiritual feast. It is a royal feast. God is in this cheer. Christ in both natures, God and man, is the matter of this supper." Now, while the elements do not become the body and the blood of Christ, they remain bread and wine. But yet we still, by faith, feed upon Christ and get our life and nourishment in Him. Secondly, the sacrament is called communion. Now, what is the nature of this sacramental meal? What happens at the Lord's Supper? In 1 Corinthians 10:16, we learn of the nature of the Lord's Supper. You'll notice I have the New King James translation in your bulletin, which says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And so here the Lord's Supper is also called communion. Communion is a sharing. It is a partnership. It implies a union with someone. The very word implies a relationship. Sin destroyed the relationship between God and man. It made us God's enemies. The sacrament of communion declares to us that this relationship has been restored in Jesus Christ. And this title, first of all, again, and this brings us to the first blank there, it first of all speaks of our communion with Christ. Our communion with Christ. This truth is at the heart of our salvation. We are saved because we have been united to Christ. We are one with Him. We are not saved because Christ has just helped us out a little bit. We're not saved because He's made us better people so that we are now acceptable to God. We are acceptable to God because when God looks at us, He sees Christ. He sees nothing less than the perfect righteousness of His own Son. And this title for the Lord's Supper reminds us that we have been saved because we are united to Christ. That we share in the body and the blood of Christ. We come together with Christ Himself in this meal, and He reassures us that we have been reconciled to God. We partake of the benefits of His broken body and shed blood, and we enjoy a restored relationship with our Creator. Secondly, this title communion also reminds us that there is a communion of the saints. There is a communion of the saints, and we looked at this in detail this morning. You remember in Titus 2:14, Paul says that Christ gave Himself in order to redeem and purify a people. And again, as we highlighted this morning, despite what is taught in most of the church today, the Christian faith is not just you and Jesus. Christ redeemed a people. He purchased the church with His own blood. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, Paul emphasizes this communion of the saints when he writes, "For though we are many, we are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." And so the sacrament proclaims this relationship that we have with other believers. It tells us that our union with Christ results in a deep union with others. And again, we see that communion helps to put gospel truth before us. Gospel truth that we are prone to forget. Again, as we saw this morning in this text from 1 Corinthians, we tend to think individualistically about our faith. We can easily make our faith into a selfish thing. But communion reminds us that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus and also a relationship with one another. Thirdly and finally, we see this title of the Lord's table. We saw this in 1 Corinthians 10:21. Now, Scripture is rich with what we might call table imagery or table theology. Now, in the ancient world, to be invited to sit at someone's table would have been a really big deal. To be invited by the head of the household to sit at a table would have been a great honor. The head of the table had authority in the house. We read that passage from 2 Samuel 9 where King David invited Jonathan's son to come and sit at his table. That would have been a great honor. It would have been a big deal. And so this title, the Lord's table, first of all, speaks of Christ's ownership. It speaks of Christ's ownership. Christ is the owner of this table. He is the head of the table. It is by sovereign invitation that we come to dine with him. And again, we see a central gospel truth communicated by this title. The Lord's table. It reminds us that we have done nothing to earn a seat at the table. Christ chose us. We did not choose him. We love him because he first loved us. It proclaims that all of the glory and honor belongs to Jesus Christ, the King, who saved us and who prepared a table for us. Secondly, and most vividly, this title, the Lord's table, speaks of Christ's covenant love. It speaks of his covenant love. And it probably would be helpful at this point if you turn back to that passage in 2 Samuel chapter 9. There are some very great truths in this chapter that are easy to miss. Now, in this chapter, we saw how David the king showed kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And this account would have struck the ancient reader as both unique and countercultural. Because in the ancient world, to come into the king's presence and to sit at his table, that would have been a great honor that was reserved for a few elite people. There were conditions for coming into the king's presence. Humanly speaking, you had to be perfect to come into the king's presence. You had to be dressed in the finest garments. You had to have bathed. In Genesis 41, we read the story of Joseph being called out of prison. And that text tells us that it was only after that he had shaved and changed his clothes that he had come into the presence of Pharaoh. You had to have yourself together to come into the king's presence. You weren't allowed to be unhappy or miserable at the king's table. And if you were crippled or lame, you certainly could not sit at the king's table. Those were the conditions for coming into the king's presence and sitting at his table. And yet, when we read this account in 2 Samuel 9, we see an unconditional invitation by David the king. We see David seeking out Mephibosheth and extending unconditional kindness and love to him. Look at verse 7 of that text. So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Now, friends, it's no coincidence that twice in this passage, it is mentioned that Mephibosheth was crippled or lame. In other words, here is someone who shouldn't have been allowed to sit at the king's table. But yet the text says that he ate at the king's table like one of the king's sons. It says that he ate continually at the king's table. And so this undeserving, crippled man was shown unconditional kindness and love by the king. Now, it's not hard to see how that was but a mere shadow of the eternal king to come. It was a shadow of David's greater son. Because Christ's covenant love is seen in his table. It is an unconditional love. It was the grace of God that brought you salvation. It was his loving kindness that sought you out and gave you a seat at the table. And moreover, we are reminded that the Lord's table is not for people who have everything together. It's not for people who have clothed themselves in the finest garments and cleaned themselves up. Christ's table is for poor, lame, needy sinners. These are the kinds of people that Christ invites to his table. These are the kinds of people that he feeds forever and loves and cares for. We come with no garments, but yet Christ provides our garments. He clothes us in his garment of righteousness and seats us at his table. Now, Psalm 23, that very well-known psalm, proclaims this glorious truth. It pictures us gathering with Christ at his table at that final supper, the supper to which the sacrament points, the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the end of Psalm 23, we read, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Friends, the gospel is hard for us to believe. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is designed by God to help us believe it. And each of these titles for the Lord's Supper is rich in meaning. They communicate the gospel to us in a visible way. It is the Lord's Supper. He provides all that we need. His broken body and his shed blood. It is communion. It communicates our relationship with Christ and our relationship with his people. And it is the Lord's table. It is a table owned by Christ, which is for sinners. It is a table which is designed to strengthen our faith as we see the Savior declaring His covenant love for us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You that You condescend to our weakness and that You give us visible signs and seals of the gospel message. We thank You, Lord, that they put before us the great work of Christ. Lord, forgive us for thinking that the gospel is something that we get and then move on. We pray, Lord, that You would deepen our faith. We pray that You would help us to believe the gospel. Lord, we pray that as we begin this week, Lord, that we would meditate upon these truths. Lord, that we would be preparing to come to Your table next Lord's Day. Lord, that You would not let us go through this week without giving adequate thought to these great truths, but You would prepare our hearts and our minds to come in faith, to come seeing the great spiritual truths that lie behind the simple elements of bread and wine. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to live in light of the gospel, that we might keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray this in the great name of Christ. Amen.